There follows now a meditative reading by three voices, read by Maureen, Anita, and Helen.
When Jesus arrived, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother.
When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him."
Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world."
Do you believe this?
Do you believe this?
Do you believe this?
We believe. Help our unbelief.
And our second gospel reading will be read by Jane. Thank you.
This reading comes from John, chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
So we heard just before from Jane this well-known passage of Thomas, usually read in the Easter season, showing Thomas turning from disbelief to true faith because he sees the risen Jesus and talks to him. Wouldn't we love to have that experience? To be so sure because we've seen him with our own eyes. Jesus says to him, "Have you only believed because you've seen me?" The greater blessing belongs to those who have never seen me and yet believe. And then in the earlier passage, we heard about Martha remonstrating with Jesus because he hadn't been there when her brother Lazarus needed him. He could have saved his life, and he wasn't there. It's a moment of anger coming out of her immense grief. "But," she says, "even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Wow, that's faith. It's like the faith of Jesus' mother, Mary, when at the wedding at Cana, she sees the problem faced by the embarrassed family and turns to Jesus, not knowing exactly what he will do, but knowing he can do something, and he will. "They have no wine," she says to him. And then after he appears to object to what he thinks she's implying, she simply says to the stewards, "Do whatever he tells you." "Even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Do whatever he tells you. My Lord and my God. Statements of faith. And these statements, with the whole of the New Testament, are preserved as a testimony to us from 2,000 years ago. And still we study them and read them and let them shape our worship. And as disciples of Jesus, we allow them to transform our lives. Isn't that amazing? Or do we take it for granted? 2,000-year-old stories, statements of faith, stories of Jesus, handed down to us through the ages and treasured by generations to generation, and still they impact us and shape our lives today. 1,700 years ago, when leaders of the church gathered for the Council of Nicaea, there were no denominations as we have them today. Many congregations, but only one church. The church had many differences, with discussions and disputes and disagreements. But facing persecution, they needed to stay strong. And they united around those things they were sure about. The things that had been passed down to them, preserved and cherished. And they only went to all that trouble in a time when going to Nicaea from various parts of the empire was not as simple as getting on a train or a plane. They only went to all that trouble because their faith worked. Because the gospel of Christ was worth passing on. Because belief actually made a difference. And because everything they did as they lived out this faith, they did indeed see God in action. The church has survived this long and thrived and branched out and reached every corner of the earth in different ways because God is still at work and God's people see him every day. So, do you believe this? That's the question Jesus asked Martha, and it's the question we're encouraged to ask today. Do you believe this? Do you believe that faith makes a difference? Do you believe in the Jesus revealed to us by the scriptures? Do you believe that through the Holy Spirit, that same Jesus is at work today in our town, in our lives, in our world, bringing in God's kingdom? Do you believe that we should actually pay attention to him and do whatever he tells us? And as we worship him today and say, "My Lord and my God," do we believe that even now Jesus will give us, God will give us whatever Jesus asks for? And if the answer is yes, then why do we let the troubles of this world get us down? Why do we sometimes think evil is winning and there's no hope? Why do we pretend that because some of our churches may be aging and declining, that God is somehow failing and the church won't survive unless we keep it going? Why do we go to church and bemoan the people who aren't there instead of celebrating the ones who are there? Do we believe that God's kingdom is coming? Do we believe that the kingdom will be stronger and more effective when God's people are united? Do we believe in those words of Jesus when he prays to his Father that the church may be one so that the world may believe? If the answer is yes, then let's start living it. Let's stop defining ourselves by our denomination and find our identity in Christ. And when we talk to each other, perhaps afterwards over coffee, maybe the first thing we say to each other shouldn't be, "I'm a Methodist, I'm an Anglican, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Roman Catholic, I'm a Congregationalist, I'm an Evangelical," but rather, "I'm a follower of Christ." And then we can start with the very main thing we have in common. And if the one main thing we have in common is Jesus Christ, with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, then that's a pretty major thing to have in common. And when we see it like that, the other differences shouldn't matter at all. And I believe our diversity is a gift, not a curse. We might have our different styles and nuances and emphases and ways of speaking and ways of worship, but we only have one Lord. Just as Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. These things have been passed down to us. This faith, this hope, this love, these scriptures, these gospels, these letters, these creeds. And they're treasured and preserved over thousands of years, not because they're fragile, but because they're true and they work and Jesus is Lord. Our faith is worth believing in. Our loving Creator God and Father has not finished with this world. Our Lord Jesus is still bringing in his kingdom. The Holy Spirit is still at work in us and through us. Some words from Dr. Nicola Brady, General Secretary of Churches Together in Britain and Ireland. She says, "Our polarized and fracturing world is in need of a new vision for peace, centered on the recognition of our interconnectedness and shared humanity. As we gather to mark this anniversary, we have an opportunity to ask the hard questions about what may be getting in the way of our shared identity as Christians and our collective witness to the world. We are reminded of the transformative power of our faith, which gives hope in suffering through the promise that all will be renewed in Christ." So when in a moment we say the words of the Creed, may it not sound like a boring monotony, like we're reading the shipping forecast. Let's say it with conviction, with passion, and with joy, because martyrs and servants of God have struggled and died to bring this to us, to preserve this faith through wars and suffering and persecutions. And when we say it, just like when it was written, let's say it as one church. Amen.